Look and continue back to Romans chapter 8. What we just sang is so incredibly pertinent to kind of our feelings, if you will, in Romans chapter 8. Because in Romans chapter 8, we kind of get this picture that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that we're looking at, we kind of have this picture that God owes us something. We have this picture that if we are good, then God needs to give us something. If we are good, then God kind of owes us a little bit. It's kind of like when we were a child and our parents told us, hey, if you will just do this, I will give you this. Maybe that didn't happen in your household, but it had to in my household. My parents wanted us to be good in certain areas, and they wanted us to act well. And so if you act well, if you do good, then we're going to give you this little bit. And maybe in some sense, we have this same kind of mindset from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we've claimed this verse a number of times, kind of saying, well, God will do good for me if I love him. And so we kind of base even our love off of, God, you do this for me and I'm going to love you. And sometimes when it doesn't work out exactly like we anticipated, exactly like we wanted, let's just be honest, sometimes when we have struggles, the first thing we want to do is kind of talk about, where was God in all of this? I remind you this morning that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, when we look at this verse and we look at what it says, we understand that God is working for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I remind us that our definition of good may be slightly different than God's definition of good. Remember this, that God takes circumstances and struggles and fun times and hard times and victories and defeats. And because he is God, he molds all those together for our good. And I want to make sure that we grasp this morning that molding them all together for our good doesn't necessarily mean for our happiness. See, Christians, and specifically Christians in America, we have this idea that God owes us, and he's going to mold all these things, and if we are just good enough, God's going to mold all these things for our good so that we can be happy. And that is definitely not the goal of God's glory. It's not. It's a struggle that we all face together, but it's not the goal of God's glory to make sure that Adam Pardue or Highland Baptist Church is happy. I don't care how we mix it up. I don't care how we mix it up. We can never be happy when one of our loved ones really struggle. We can never be happy in the midst of trial and tribulation and pain and turmoil. That doesn't make us happy. But we can grasp the hope that God takes all of these things and molds them together for our good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I am not smug enough to tell you this morning that if you face a death in your family, just be happy about it. Remember, God's working that for your good. You'll be just fine. You know what? It's okay to cry. Jesus Christ showed us the example of absolute tear and absolute turmoil when he found out that his friend had died. Did Jesus know that he would raise him from the dead? Of course. And we'll look at that passage in a few weeks, but the scripture says that Jesus, that he wept. That sounds like happy? No, but ultimately God works even that situation for good. I'm not telling you this morning that I would want to go back and sort of go back any of the things that I've suffered before in the past. I wouldn't want to go back and do any of those things, but I will tell you this, that those things have molded me and made me into the person that I am today. Good and sometimes not so good. The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that and going in through verse 30, that we have a lot going on in the Christian life. That there is a lot going on in the Christian life. And remember that faith And our relationship with God is never a static thing. It's not something that happened in the past that doesn't affect the future. And if I were to look at the common American church today, my concern is that many people are living a faith that affected them in the past and has no real indication or no real in the present that doesn't change things. And I want you to know that our faith in Jesus Christ not only changed us in the past, but is changing us today and will change us in the future. It's not a static relationship. It's a relationship that continues to mold, continues to grow, and it's a relationship where we continue to conform to the image of Christ. From the side, from the human side, we love God, and from the side of God, we are called according to His purpose. So I want us to look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, we're going to try to apply some of these things to our life this morning. And then, both good and bad, we're going to celebrate it. Okay? Both good and bad, we're going to trust that God, the creator of the universe, knows exactly what He's doing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, would you stand for the reading of God's word together? We'll read chapter verse 28 through 30. It says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified." Father, we hear Your word. God, I pray that You would allow that word to penetrate our hearts. God, don't let it be just something that we read and doesn't affect us right now. But God, give us ears to hear and a heart to understand what You're trying to teach us through Your word. We love You. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So I think if we look at verse 28, there's a word here that I think that probably helps us interpret this verse, if you will, and that word is perspective. God gives His people perspective. You know, many times what we do is we tend to relate to God based on how He is working in our individual life. And we tend to have this relationship with God or this understanding of God only by how He relates to us in our individual life. I want us to grasp this morning that it is much bigger than that. We need to grasp this morning that when we talk about God's good for His people, those who are called according to His purpose, it's much more than just an individual, God, do what I want You to do. It's much, much bigger than that. God's good in this verse, in verse 28, does not mean that we are immune. It doesn't mean that we're immune. If you read this verse, and many in the church life will read, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And that means for many, I'm a Christian. That means everything's going to be good. That means everything's going to be okay. And that is not a great perspective. That kind of gives the impression that we are immune to bad things and struggles and hard times. I dare say that if we went across this room this morning, that if we all shared our struggles and we based our opinion or our thought on God based on what has happened in our life, I would dare say that we wouldn't walk out with this idea that God is always good. Because we've all gone through many, many different things, many struggles, many heartaches. But ultimately, God will weave those together for the good of His people. In fact, I would also dare say to us that there have been times where we've had real struggle, and those struggles actually made us depend on the Lord. I saw a video a week and a half ago that kind of illustrated this point. Now, I want you to know this isn't one of our church videos. I didn't get this from a church video website. This is from TNT. But TNT, the network, I thought handled a specific issue very well. See, there was a coach in Oklahoma City, an assistant coach, who lost his wife in a horrific car accident. One of these women who was a shining example for the Lord. A woman who took care of other players and was an encouragement. And I thought his perspective could help us, even as we've dealt with issues in our life, maybe his perspective, just raw emotion, and his perspective of the Lord would be very helpful. So I want you to watch this video.
Spent a good part of the day in Oklahoma today, where a memorial service was held for Ingrid Williams, the wife of Monty Williams, who was in Oklahoma City assistant coach and had obviously ties to the San Antonio Spurs. She died last week in a head-on accident when a woman crossed the center line and hit her. And they had five kids. And you heard about how powerful Monty Williams was when he spoke today. And so we felt it would be appropriate, rather than talking hoops in this segment, just to give you a piece of what Monty Williams had to say in the wake of just unspeakable tragedy.
This is hard for my family, but this will work out. And my wife would punch me if I were to sit up here and whine about what's going on. That doesn't take away the pain. But it will work out, because God causes all things to work out. You just can't quit. You can't give in. See, the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And America teaches us to just numb that, and it's not true, but it is true. All you got to do is look around you. Get outside of these walls, and you know it's true. This will work out. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean we don't have tough times, and we're going to have tough times. But what we need is the Lord. And that's what my wife tried to exhibit every single day. Now, I'm going to close with this, and I think it's the most important thing that we need to understand. Everybody's praying for me and my family, which is right. But let us not forget that there were two people in this situation. And that family needs prayer as well. And we have no ill will towards that family. In my house, we have a sign that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We cannot serve the Lord if we don't have a heart of forgiveness. That family didn't wake up wanting to hurt my wife. Life is hard. It is very hard. And that was tough. But we hold no ill will towards the Donaldson family. And we, as a group, brothers united in unity, should be praying for that family, because they grieve as well. So let's not lose sight of what's important. God will work this out. My wife is in heaven. God loves us. God is love. And when we walk away from this place today, let's celebrate, because my wife is where we all need to be. And I'm envious of that. But I got five crumb snatchers I got to deal with. I love you guys for taking time out of your day to celebrate my wife. We didn't lose her. When you lose something, you can't find it. I know exactly where my wife is. I'll miss holding her hand. I'll miss talking with my wife. Sam and Coach Donovan probably couldn't figure out why I always wanted to get out of the office, me and Mo Cheeks. Mo probably wanted to go do something else, but we always wanted to get out of the office. I just enjoy being with my wife. I enjoy being with my family. And most of the times we didn't do anything. We'd just be at the house sitting around doing nothing. I'm going to miss that. Let's not lose sight of what's important. God is important. What Christ did on the cross is important. Let's not lose sight of that family that also lost someone that they love. I love you guys. I hope I get a chance to hug and shake a hand and give a kiss on the cheek, but let's keep what's important at the forefront. Thank you.
You get the picture? We're going to struggle. We're going to have hard times. And even in our difficult times, there are people who are going to watch to see how believers handle that situation. That particular video has gone viral. Millions of people have seen that. Millions of people have seen that. This is not the Christian NBA. This is not Christian TNT. And yet, because of the way this man handled what he believed was God working for his good, he was a testimony to the Lord. That gives us perspective. It gives us perspective in that everything we do is a reflection of our Heavenly Father. By the way, it doesn't mean that we are immune. It also doesn't mean that we're always satisfied. The man said in the video, that doesn't mean that he's happy about it. Doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be with his wife. He does. But he knows that he's not always going to be satisfied in his emotions, if you will. There's this, things are just going to work out and we'll all be happy. And we say this and we mean well, but as many funerals as I have been to, people go up to people who are really hurting and struggling and they say things like, God was just ready for him. I know they mean well. God had just finished his mansion and God was ready for him. And so God came and took him. How does that play out for someone who's not a believer? Or it's all going to work out. Let's just be happy. Trust me when I say this. When I have done a funeral, very seldom do I find that people are just extremely happy. Maybe there's joy there. Maybe there's understanding there. Maybe there's even a commitment to understand they're not suffering anymore. But very few people, when you talk about their family or their friends, are incredibly happy. Things just have a way of working out. Try talking about that with someone in a third world country and they have no hope. Just have a way of working out. When we're in Nicaragua and these young kids who live in absolute poverty, you've heard this from us before, where most of those people live off of $700 a year. Go to them and say, hey, I know it's bad now, but things just have a way of working out. Don't worry, God will make you rich one day if you just believe enough. That's not the truth. And here's the real struggle. We again give this hope in stuff or this hope in money, this hope in everything's going to be better, you're not going to be as sick. And the only hope that we can give or the only hope that a believer has is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In every way, I'm good. I'm free from sin and I'm free from the consequences of sin. I got to deal with someone just a week and a half ago, got in my car and had done a lot of serious concern, spent time in jail and was concerned about the opportunity or the concern about having to go back to jail. And this person says to me, well, I prayed about it and I received Christ and I just don't understand. I'm probably going to have to go back to jail. Folks, we need to understand that God doesn't necessarily take away the consequences. In fact, sometimes those consequences are what helps us. There are consequences, but we, as believers, we kind of give this false impression that if you just pray hard enough, that your consequences will go away. Not true. Not true. Random calamity won't hit me. I've talked about this before, that where we talked about random acts of hurricanes or earthquakes, and we say, well, there's God's judgment on those people. That's not true. That's not true. What is sin? But we have this idea that if we are a believer, that we're not going to have heartache anymore. We're not going to have hurricanes, or we're not going to have natural disasters that take us from our present situation. It's not true. And then the final idea is that no evil or act of another person will harm me if I believe in God. It's simply not true. I watched Star Wars a few weeks ago, and by the way, if you haven't seen that, I'm not telling you to go see it, but I think I can talk about that now. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, too bad, you're going to be spoiled now. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in that movie, but I'm going to leave one more week for you to go see it. But the Millennium Falcon, in this particular story, when they, as you have seen this before, they'll get into these battle scenes and they'll put up their force fields and things will bounce off of that force field. We don't have a Christian force field. We don't have a Christian guard that keeps us from being hit by other people or hit by disasters or hit by things that we just don't understand. And so ultimately, to apply this verse is to say, I will trust God in all circumstances. Not that it'll just make everything fun for me, but I will trust God in all circumstances. God gives his people perspective. God also gives his people purpose. I have purpose in this life because what God has done in me and through me, and what God is continuing to do. This past week, we had the privilege, John and I had the privilege of going on a retreat, if you will. It was kind of a learning retreat. We did six sessions with the past president of Lubbock Christian University, Ken Jones. Some of the things that he talked about were just so pertinent to the Christian life. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the coming days, but one of the things that he told us is that there are areas in our lives that become a little less protected when we go through certain situations. And so sometimes we go through struggles and difficulties, and those difficulties bring on a true fatigue, just tired. If you've gone through real heartache, real struggle, you know that brings on a fatigue. And from that fatigue, many times we even move forward, and that fatigue turns into kind of a fog where we really don't grasp everything that's going on. We don't have a true understanding of all that's going on. And that fatigue that led to fog with not having true understanding then leads to flirtation or even failure. That idea that when we're completely exhausted and everything in us needs to be charged, and it hasn't been charged in a while, we get into this idea, this place where it's foggy, where we can't make real decisions. We can't do things that truly are pleasing to God. And then all of a sudden that leads to failures or flirtation with other areas and maybe even we do things that we never would before in the past. All of these things, again, lead us back to a place where we trust God. We trust him in the good times. We trust him in the hard times. We understand that God is molding all of these circumstances together in life ultimately for good. What is that good? God plans growth for his people. That good is us growing in the Lord. That good is understanding who we are in Christ. That good is showing us what God wants for us in our life. See, Paul actually, again, he promises that we're going to have heartache, that we're going to have true struggles. The supremacy of Christ is in the designation of him being the firstborn. Going back to verse 29, it says this: for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. God plans growth for his people. What is our growth? To be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm asking this specifically to you, and answer it privately in your own heart. But are you growing in Christ? Are you being every day formed to the image of God? Are you making steady progress each and every day to be committed and conformed to the image of Christ? Because if we're not being conformed to the image of Christ, what happens is ultimately that can lead to fatigue and to fog and even into failure. We trust God in all things, and God plans family for his people. The designation, again, of Jesus being the firstborn, it's that holy designation. It is setting him apart, but we are a part of that family. And I want to remind you of this morning. When you are a part of a family, you resemble that family. When I look at my own family and I look at the family that I come from, I resemble my mother and my father. Not just physically, but I resemble them emotionally. I resemble them. My girls in the Pardue household, they resemble Angie and myself because they are our children. But even more importantly than those physical attributes, we pray for those spiritual attributes that they will resemble not Adam and Angie, but they will resemble Christ because Adam and Angie resemble Christ. We want them to have the family resemblance. I'm asking you this morning, as you are conformed to Christ, as you are a part of that family, are you continuing to look more and more like Jesus? Because conformity to Christ is ultimately the goal. This word, firstborn, this Greek word is something very similar to the word prototype. A prototype is something that you put together, and before you make a run on this particular product, you try to perfect that product, and before that product is run, you have perfected that product, it becomes a prototype. And everything after that prototype is like the prototype. Jesus Christ, He is the King. He is God Himself, and He is the prototype. He is who we are to resemble, who we are to be like. God gives people purpose. God gives people perspective, and God gives people promise. Here's the promise. For those who are in Christ, for those who know God, for those who are called according to His purpose, God will ultimately provide good for them. Folks, what I have been trying to kind of discuss over the last several weeks is our idea of good does not necessarily always match up with God's idea of good. Because our idea of good looks at ourselves individually and says, what will make me feel good? And our idea of good doesn't always match God would be conformed, that God's people would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. There is order in God's work. What we see in verse 30 says, and those He predestined, He also called, and those He called, He also justified, and those He justified, He also glorified. There is this Latin word, if you will, called ordo salutis. It's the order of all things, the order of salvation. And Paul presents that kind of in a concise form. And there are things that we see in this passage, and there are some real heavy words in this passage, some real heavy theology in this passage that present kind of an order of who we are in Christ. I just want to give you a brief, quick look at what that order is or what those things are. We see the word foreknowledge, God setting His love on those who would be conformed to His Son. Then we see the word predestination. Again, in that particular verse, that predestination doesn't necessarily mean the elect, that He elected us. In fact, Paul uses the word elect when he talks about the Jews. He does not use the word elect in this passage. This predestination is God kind of looking at the destiny of His people based on who they were, and God is forming them to who they are and who they will be. There is from foreknowledge to predestination, there is a calling, God's effectual call from death into life. Then from that, after that calling, there's this regeneration. We are a dead people, a people who did not know the Lord. This regeneration is the thought of us coming back into life. God, we come back into life in chapter 2 from our faith. This faith is God's gift. This idea in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, this faith is exercised by those who are regenerated people. Then God justifies us, justification, God declaring us as righteous, that we are a righteous people. And that justification then leads to our adoption into the family. And once we have been adopted, we are declared holy, which is an incredible thing. And that holiness then makes us a part of the family where we can never be turned away. And then after that adoption, we are sanctified. We are in the sanctification process, that God is conforming us to the image of Christ and that He is showing us who He wants us to be. And then that perseverance experiences is the idea of God ensuring that those who have been called, those who are his people, will always be his people. And then ultimately what we are waiting for is glorification. Glorification in that we will then be glorified with Christ in heaven. We will be co-heirs in heaven. Now, why is all of that important? God did. Well, for a guy like me, it's important because God didn't just throw this thing together. God didn't say, well, I need a plan. Well, that plan didn't work. Let me put in another plan. Well, that plan didn't feel good. Let me try something else. God has always, since the very beginning, had a plan. And there was a step-by-step, systematic process by which God was changing and is changing and will change his people. There's order in God's work, and ultimately, Scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 1, God's, whatever God starts, he finishes. There is completion in God's work. Folks, because I am human, there have been a number of things that I have started that I have not finished. Did you know that God has never started anything that he didn't finish? Ladies, can you imagine that? If your husband had never started anything that he didn't finish, would that be unbelievable? God has never started anything that he hasn't finished. Now, I want you to hear this. I want to finish this. Ultimately, like theological processes, what does it ultimately boil down to? And even its smallest sense, it's all about God. We think it's about us because that's how we are wired. That's what sin brings to us. We're constantly thinking about ourselves. Ultimately, this is about God. I ask you this morning, even as we've talked about the good that God brings, ultimately, as we've talked about what God is doing, I ask you, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever been regenerated, if you will? Changed? Again, those are big theological words that may not mean anything, but have you ever been changed by what God has done in your life? Have you ever given your heart and your life to Christ? Do that. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on a cruel cross and shed his blood so that we might have life. And next week, we'll start a new series called This I Believe. And I want you to know this, even as we go into that next series, I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on a cross. I believe he was buried and resurrected from the cross. And this, I believe. I believe. I ask you, do you believe it? Have you ever applied that in your life? Over the next little bit, 20 minutes or so, it's going to be a time of invitation, self-examination. It's going to be a time of us even responding to the Lord. We're going to have an invitation like we normally do. And if you wanted to come this morning declaring your faith in Christ, or come this morning saying that you want to be a member of our church, or come this morning use this altar as a place of prayer, that is appropriate. We want you to do that. But we also want you to know that you can do that over the next little bit as we sing together, as we apply God's word together, as we respond to God's call on our life. So we'll do that invitation hymn, and then we'll continue in singing and celebrating the goodness of God. If you need to come this morning, we want you to come declaring your faith or declaring even the family resemblance. We want you to come even this morning if you want to say, hey, I want to be a part of this church. We want to be members here. We know that God's at work here and we want to be a part of that. However the Holy Spirit is leading, you come. Father, I pray right now that you are working in the lives and the spirit of people in this room. God, we know in a crowd like this, a crowd this size, Father, there are certainly people who may have just heard that message and maybe understood for the first time who Jesus Christ is in their life and what it means to be a follower of Christ. God, I pray this morning that you would give the ability to make that public. I pray this morning, even for those who may be saying that they want to be a part of the family. They're a part of already of the Christian family, but they want to be a part of the Highland family, and they want to be a part of the work going on that you're doing. God, we pray that however you are leading, that we would be sensitive to respond to your call. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Just stand together. Christians pray.